have trouble letting go of. This is a quiet question. You don't have to answer out loud. There'll be lots of room for participation later. What do you have trouble letting go of? I know I have things that I have trouble letting go of. This week, I heard that my son was playing shinny hockey, and it brought back all the fond memories I had of watching him play as a kid, and how exciting that was. And I said, oh, I'd love to come and watch. And he said, Mom, they don't allow spectators at shinny hockey. So I've had to let that go. Today's scripture is from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 to 12. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. He buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired, and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him, and the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Now I wonder how Moses felt standing there on Mount Nebo, looking over the promised land, so close, and yet so far. Ever since he left Egypt, he had devoted his life to leading the people of Israel to the promised land. There had been many setbacks, many rebellions, many discouragements. The Israelites grumbled about the food, the scarcity of water, the dangers of the surrounding nations. They were not an easy people to lead. But Moses was faithful. And I expect that he thought that if he was faithful, that someday, if he just kept going, he would see the promised land and lead his people into it. But as our scripture today tells us, that is no longer going to happen. It's time for Moses to pass on the leadership to the next leader. He had to let go of his dream, his role, his life. It must have been very hard. It doesn't say how Moses felt, but we can imagine. We can imagine because we have all had to let go of something important to us at one time or another. Some dream, some plan, some expectation. We've perhaps had to let go of the way things are right now. For instance, a comfortable routine, or an economic situation, or a family home. We can imagine this because we know that someday we will all come to the end of some stage of our life. Maybe our days as a parent, maybe our days as a community or church leader, maybe our days as a strong contributor to our family or friend group, maybe to our youth, our school days, moving on to work days. There will come a time when this church will be led by other people, younger people, people with new ideas and new plans. There will even come a time when we will no longer exist in this world. how do we make sense of this? How do we stand on our mountaintop, looking over into the promised land, the future that we will never enter, and find meaning and purpose for the next steps in our life? This is hard. I remember the last day I worked at the hospital in Yellowknife. I had so much to do that day. I scrambled to tidy my desk, finish my projects, and leave everything just the way I wanted it. My boss, around 2 o'clock, said, "Karen, you're retiring, go home." I said, "No, I'm not finished yet." It was so hard to let go. In the same way, we cling to the life that we have. We fear of having to let go of people, roles, relationships, power, influence. This is not just the fear of missing out, like when we can't get to a party or a popular movie or a family gathering. This is the fear of missing out on all the influence we want to have, the wisdom we want to share, the world building that we want to do. So how do we face this monumental letting go that we all have to experience from time to time? How can we do it with grace and peace? I'd like to suggest that there's two things that help us move forward. Trust in God and trust in the next generation. Let's look at Moses. Moses had walked with God for decades by this time, 120 years. 40 years in Egypt, learning all about how to be a prince, but also learning from his Hebrew mother the history of the Israelites. 40 years shepherding sheep in the desert of Midian, and then 40 years shepherding people in the wilderness. He had learned a few things about God and a few things about people by this time. He had learned to walk with God in faith and trust. From the time he was an infant, God had a hand on Moses. God rescued him from Pharaoh's decree. God had led him and the people out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, and into the wilderness. God had fed and watered and protected them for 40 years. Through all these experiences, Moses had grown into a wise leader and a faithful follower. As today's scripture says, never since then has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform. And Moses had spent time with God both on the mountaintop and in the desert. Moses knew God personally. Moses had walked with God long enough that he was able to trust God now at this time of letting go. Moses trusted God. Then Moses started to trust the next generation. This wasn't his first letting go, the first trusting others that Moses had to do. He used to be a prince in a royal household of Egypt, and he let that go. He had a comfortable life with a wife and children and lots of sheep, and he let that go. He was in charge of hundreds of thousands of Israelites. He was the one that they came to with all their troubles for his wise judgments. That's got to be good for your ego. He let that go and delegated that responsibility to other wise men. He had led his people through many dangerous situations, but he sent other younger men into the promised land to scope it out and report back on conditions. So he was prepared when he had to pass on his role of ultimate leader to someone new. And it wasn't like he just picked any old guy. He picked someone who he had been mentoring for some time. That person was Joshua. Joshua had been with him from the earliest days. He had led troops into battle, accompanied Moses up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, and was one of the 12 spies that snuck into Canaan to scope out the land and see if Israel could conquer it. He was Moses' deputy, his aide, his trusted sidekick. Therefore, when Moses realized that he wasn't going to make it into the promised land, he asked God to appoint Joshua leader so that the people would not be like sheep without a shepherd. Our story today says, Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Joshua had been trained by Moses and blessed by Moses to carry on. Moses could let go and let Joshua lead. He had done all he could and now had to trust that God would be with Joshua just as he had been with Moses. This took great faith, but it also took intentional training, mentoring, and eventually letting go. So how can we have the same kind of faith? And what can we do to ensure that the values, wisdom, and love to which we have devoted our lives will carry on? This kind of faith comes from experience. When we look back on our life and on the lives of the generations before us, we can see that God has been faithful to each new generation. Methods, activities, programs, hymns, ministries, and even priorities have changed, but God has continued to work in each decade, each century, each millennium. Therefore, God can be trusted with the next stage of our life. As well, we already have a lot of experience letting go. Some of us have let go of our baby's hand as they learn to walk. Some of us have watched our kids go off to school, to college, to families of their own. We have all let go of our own childhood, of relationships, good and bad, of jobs, hometowns, loved ones. We let go of ideas as new and better ones replace them. We let go of old ways of doing things as modern technology and information arose. Letting go is imperative if we are going to grow and move forward, even if we don't know what lies ahead. Many of you have moved towns, even countries, to be here. You had no idea what lay ahead, but knowing the little you did and trusting your partner or yourself or your job, you stepped out and let go of one thing to grasp another. This is faith. A bit of knowledge and a bit of trust. A bit of looking back, a bit of looking forward. And there is much we can do now to prepare the next generation for what lies ahead. When you think back to what your parents and grandparents taught you, what were some of the most important lessons? This is where you get to participate. Honesty. Acceptance. Pardon me? Hard work. Yep. Trust your intuition. Responsibility. What are some practical skills you inherited from your parents? Live within your means. That's a good one. I learned to sew. Pardon? Learn to cook. Yes, thank goodness. Somebody taught you to cook, Joel. That was a good thing. Involvement in your community. Yeah, those things ring true to me, too. My Welsh grandmother, I used to cuddle in with her at night because she was kind of plump, and so it was very cozy. And so I'd cuddle in with her, and she would say the Lord's Prayer and Psalm 23 in English and then in Welsh. I didn't learn all the Welsh part, but she was telling me right there that her faith was important. And my parents carried on with that. We lived right next door to the United Church. It was like a second home to me. And so I was always in and out of the church. My parents taught me to be involved in my community, to volunteer, to support. Be kind. Yeah. Learn to share. Yeah. Yeah. Do what you say you're going to do. Excellent. Yeah. Maybe somebody taught you to change the oil in your car or change a tire or to make bread. And you've talked about a lot of the personal wisdom that you either absorbed because they said it to you or you watched them do it. So what do you want to pass on to the next generation? What will travel well into the future? Let's make sure that we are not burdening our children and grandchildren with our baggage. Let's help them travel light with just what they need to realize God's plan for their generation, their time on earth. So what will we give them? You've talked about such things as honesty, getting involved in your community, sharing. Those are some of the useful tools that we will can give them to help meet their future problems, just as those tools have helped us in our time. And we do it by demonstrating it, by talking about it, by living it. Right after Moses introduced the Israelites to the Ten Commandments, so this is a long time ago, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down, when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." These are the words of the Shema, the central tenet of Judaism. Through the many, many, many years, the countless generations, Jewish parents have recited these words to their children and taught them to recite them to their children. They've taught them to make them a part of their everyday conversations, their everyday walking around living. In the Dene culture, that's the indigenous people from the Northwest Territories all the way down to the southern United States, their laws are share what you have, help each other, love each other as much as possible, be respectful of elders and everything around you, sleep at night and work during the day, be polite and don't argue with anyone, young girls and boys should behave respectfully, pass on the teachings. And I love the last one. Be happy at all times. What are your values? What are your teachings? What can you leave for the next generation? What can you leave that time cannot erode and trials cannot shake? This is your legacy. This is what will make letting go possible, maybe even a little easier. What do you want to pass on as a person? Is it property or wealth or possessions? That might be part of it. Or is it values, traditions, a family history, and hope? What do we want to pass on as a church? Is it this building, this set of programs, this denomination, or is it a relationship with God that will stand the test of time and trouble, that will bring hope to a fractured world, and wholeness and healing to all? What do we want to pass on as a country? Is it security, prosperity, and influence? Or is it an example of respect for the land, peaceful coexistence, love for neighbors, and care for all? What do we want to pass on as a planet? Is it dominion or stewardship? Are we miners or farmers? Are we takers or givers, owners or renters, exploiters or caretakers? Let's look over the border of the promised land that we will not be a part of. And let's figure out how to send our children and our grandchildren into that land with the love and wisdom and the strength and the faith to survive and thrive. Our future is secured by two truths. We can trust God, and we can trust the next generation. So I'd like to leave you with a picture of what this looks like. I have a rope lying up here on this step, and I'm going to ask about 12 of you at least to come up and grab a place on the rope where you think you belong. It's a timeline. So oldest over here and youngest over here. I'll let you figure it out, and nobody's going to check. So, can I get 12 brave people to come up here? And you are not at that end, Mark.